The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
And welcome back. We appreciate you being here. Friday afternoon has arrived, and Carl is up next in Georgia. Hey, Carl.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
I want to tell y'all, I think these Alabama fans are amazing to me. Alabama is a university just like my school is in Georgia. When I get ready to worship, I go worship Jesus at church. I think these people need to calm down. Did anybody ever find out who's taller, Stetson or Bryce Young? Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. You be well. John in Louisville. Hey, John.
Pretty calm day. You really took Jim's hair off, didn't you?
Well, I mean, I don't mind being accused of a lot of things, which I have been tonight, but I do mind when somebody makes a blatantly inaccurate and scurrilous comment and somebody that knew exactly what he was saying when he said it.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, I don't feel sorry for Brandon Miller. I'm not saying he's guilty, but he did get a text. He did deliver a weapon. He did stay to witness the event, and he did flee the scene and only came back when he was told to. I don't feel sorry for Nate Oates. He's made stupid comments, clueless comments. I mean, who says your player did nothing wrong when we know the facts? Likewise, who admits they called Ray Lewis? I mean, what was OJ busy that day? You just don't do those kind of things.
By the way, John, I really appreciate the woman a minute ago who had information from people inside the club that she stated as absolute certified fact.
Oh, Tracy only ruined her credibility as she kept talking. And then you have the Alabama AD who says they investigated it, yet the first preliminary hearing he's saying, well, we didn't know these facts. I mean, oh, no, they've and really, the AD, I blame more than anyone.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you. I'm more surprised by Greg Burns' comments. Because I thought he threw the head coach under the bus who made a buffoonish comment, but I don't think he purposely what he also said was that he knew about all this from the beginning, and Burn acts like he just found out about this stuff Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, he set the bar low for student conduct, you know, essentially saying if they're not criminally charged, we're not concerned with bad decisions, poor choices. But here's who I do feel sorry for, Paul. I feel sorry for the callers to have to listen to people like Greg from Ohio, Mark from Alabama, the first three Alabama callers. I feel bad for you because you're taking a beating.
No.
And who I really feel sorry for is that therapist early Friday afternoon that gets the download from you.
Yeah. Listen, the funniest thing was, John, I talked to myself a lot during the show to try to manage my behavior. And when these two or three women in a row just waylaid me, I kept saying, let them talk. And then Jim comes up with making up an absolute lie, and I went against my better judgment to react.
He even tried to throw in the St. Peter thing, but you knew it was going to be bad.
Well, I mean, for a guy that has I'll say no more. I'm gonna try to, be a better person the rest of the day.
Good luck. Hey, by the way, quick question: what's obviously the Pac-12's on life support?
Oh my goodness.
How soon is it going to break up, do you think?
It's in dire straits is exactly how you described it. If they can't get a better TV deal, they're going to lose half their members.
Well, you be the TV networks. You can add to your Big 12 package. You can add to your Big 10 package. Then who really wants anything out of the Pac-12?
There's such little value, and this is the first time, and everyone's playing much harder ball than they used to because they don't, the Fox and ESPN don't need the inventory anymore, John.
Yeah, well, Paul, I will give you this wish. It's a dog-eat-dog world for you today, and you're wearing milk-bone underwear. Hang in there.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, back to, we'll talk about the Pac-12 a little bit later on, but when you lose your five-star gold-plated special in SC, the rest of it, this doesn't add up. Larry is up next in Alabama. Hello, Larry.
Hey, man, I got me some new hearing aids, brother. How about that?
So, Larry, have you ever had a hearing aid before?
No, I lost them back about 6 years ago.
Okay.
But I just now got
Now, do you, I mean, I don't wear a hearing aid, although I'm sure I will after having these things in my ear all my life. Do you have them in both ears or just one?
I got both ears. I was like stoned up. I tried to tell you that way back when we got in trouble with another.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Larry. Can you modulate them, or do you have to, or are they just on one speed, on one volume?
No, you can adjust them.
Okay.
But I want to tell you something. Paul Feinbaum, I'm going to be where I can. If somebody says something about me, now I'm going to jump them because I know what they said. So I'm going to be in gear. Now, let me say, these people about these charges against this guy, and I thought, oh, God, I'm tired of hearing it. You know what? Every city and every state has mayors and prosecutors and attorneys. Do you know how they get their federal money?
I don't know.
By reducing charges. Because if they show that they have reduced charges certain crimes, they get federal money so they can get police equipment, blah, 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 bulletproof vests. So this thing with Miller ain't nothing. We have one hit the head with a hatchet, and the prosecutor for the city reduced it to a misdemeanor.
Okay. Well, Larry, number one, really glad to hear you're doing better. We'll stay in touch. A lot happening on a busy Friday afternoon. We've already covered what Nick Saban said about the future of SEC scheduling. More on that, more from you right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Call Feinbaum now. 855-242-7285. That's 855-242-PAUL. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
And welcome back. Some of you have been watching women's basketball. We appreciate you coming on over here. We have Mark Schlabaugh joining us in a few minutes. He has been in Athens today, the latest on Georgia and Jalen Carter. Stuart Mandel on the future of the Pac-12. And it's not very bright. Matt Baker talks about the Gators, Spencer Hall, later on. The big story early on has been Nick Saban talking to our first guest, Ross Dellinger, Saban pretty well letting the cat out of the bag about future SEC scheduling. Saban saying that Alabama's permanent opponents would be, assuming that the SEC goes to a nine-game schedule, which would have three permanent and six rotating. The three permanent would be Auburn, expected, Tennessee, and LSU. He questioned that in his interview with Ross. Let's get back to the calls here and check in with Rick in Houston. Hello, Rick. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Paul. My goodness, what a start to the show.
Thank you. It has been.
I have come to the conclusion your middle name is Job.
Thank you. It's a good one.
Yes, sir. You know, I called in to talk about Nick Saban and the permanent opponents, but just let me unpack a couple of things from some previous calls. I think anytime you say, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that I don't think you're really sure what point you're trying to make. And also, I'm going to try to be kind. Well, you're not going to try to be kind at all. And then when Jim said he's not sure what kind of Christian he is, I think there's a lot of folks that are thinking the same thing.
Well said, Rick. Thank you very, very much. David is in Louisiana. Hello, David.
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm amazed how you can get half the country think you're all pro Alabama and the other thing. Other half think that you hate Alabama. How do you manage to pull that off?
Here's the secret, living in Alabama more than 30 years. I learned all the tricks.
Well, you're good at it because you're, to me, you're pretty consistent. You're not biased, but people think you are. And I just wonder how you deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, I always laugh because I mean, it can be back-to-back calls where some guy says, you're the biggest Alabama fan in the world. The next lady is criticizing me for hating on Alabama. I mean, I don't know. People believe whatever they want. And I used to try to respond. I've given up on that because you're not going to ever dissuade somebody from what they believe in.
Exactly. And I applaud you for a lot of times. I can tell when you don't agree with what they're saying and you just no comment. Thanks for the call. Next caller. So yeah. I know in the back of your mind what you're thinking.
Well, David, I know I'm speaking to myself here and you, but it makes more sense because when we get into conflicts like we're in right now, and it's a big controversy, there's only so many times you can make your point. I realize everyone's not paying attention to everything we say. Hey, thank you very much for saying that. Peacock is up next. You're on the air. Hello, Peacock.
Hi, what's going on?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
I'm from Mobile. It's Peacock. I've been trying to call for a while. I've talked to you many times. This is Jim, feller. And, Jim, I know you listen, brother. Please quit trying to give an example of a Christian man. I mean, this is why people run from the church, brother, because you spew hate and you spew lies. And you come on the Paul show and want to spew a lie about him. Come on, man. You bipolar, dude. So, Paul, I love you so, man. Well, I love Alabama, but I'm also a realist. You said nothing wrong in the basketball scandal, whatever. I mean, it's just people get all bent out of shape, and it's mainly – it's either the Bama haters or the Bama lovers, you know. So, Paul, you put up with Jim entirely too much. And I know he's part of the show, but Jim, reference me, big guy, please. This is Peacock from Mobile. And you're a horrible example of a Christian, man. And I'm not the best, but I also don't go around Bible thumping people either.
Thank you very much for your call. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm I think when you start evaluating your own faith publicly, it raises a lot of people's eyebrows. I think you're always better off just saying you're terrible at everything and you're trying to be better. But that's not Jim. Jim is always the best. Bobby is in Ohio. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, how are you?
Bobby, we're doing well. Thank you for calling.
First time caller anyway.
Wonderful.
I enjoy your show. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
And I know you're knowledgeable. You're knowledgeable about all sports. So my thing is Brandon Miller and the Lakers. Why we spend so much time on those two? I don't understand. And I'm a Laker fan, but they don't win. So why are we talking about
Bobby,
them?
Well, Bobby, I can answer your Lakers question because when it comes to ESPN and other network, okay. The Lakers are like the Cowboys. They're so polarizing that they get debate. Now, I agree with you. I mean, you look up at First Take one day and you think the Lakers are dominating the NBA as opposed to trying to make the playoffs.
True.
But the Lakers do have the biggest name in the sport, and that's one reason why there's so much attention.
Right. Okay. And I appreciate you listening to me, and I'll be listening to you from now.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Thanks so much. Great to hear from you. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Pat is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. You seem to have calmed down and gotten your blood pressure under
control. Well, Pat, it's amazing what medicine will do. I mean, I popped a pill so fast during that gym call. I put it under my tongue. I didn't swallow it, so it got right into my system.
No, absolutely. My wife came running in the house. She was over at a girlfriend's place. She said, What'd Jim say? let's talk about Stegman Coliseum for just a minute. Is the concrete falling inside or outside the building?
Does it matter? You know? I mean, would it do more damage inside or outside? I don't know. I haven't been there in a while.
Well, I remember, and I was there when they opened Stegman Coliseum, and it wasn't always called Stegman. The original Stegman was at the main gate to Sanford Stadium, and it was an indoor Olympic-sized pool, and the other half of the building was, I don't know, 8 or 10 basketball courts, and it was a gymnasium. And I've been in the old field house we used to play basketball in before they built the Coliseum. And when they tore down Stegman Hall to build that high-rise parking lot in front of Sanford Stadium, then they renamed the Coliseum Stegman Coliseum. But it's been there a long time. It certainly has. Let's talk about the Pac-12 for a minute.
Okay.
And in my mind, the worst thing that the Pac-12 has going for it is the time zones that they're in, and if their athletic events are held at a decent time for the West Coast, they're not on here until 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 p.m. at night.
Right.
So, I mean, their main audience and their revenues coming from that West Coast and not from Mid America or the East Coast, and I don't see how they're going to overcome that. Do you?
No, they can't, Pat. And I mean, they have games on, as you know, 10:30 ESPN, Oregon State and Washington State. And there is an audience, but if you're on the East Coast and you've watched football from noon on, there's a pretty good chance you're going to bail out once your game's over at 10:30 or 11.
No, absolutely. Well, listen, you take care and have a good weekend, and maybe you need to think twice before you ring the bell with Jim and say hello to him again.
Yeah, no, I'm going in for a hard cath as soon as the show's over just to make sure I can be back here Monday. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Chance is in Lexington. You're on the air. Hello, Chance.
Hey, what's up?
We're doing great. Thank you.
That's good. How are you guys doing?
What's going on in Kentucky? What's the mood of the Wildcat Nation right now?
It's okay, actually. It's not terrible. The loss to Vanderbilt kind of hurt, honestly. But the women's team is on a roll, so.
Yeah. The Cats have a pretty tough game tomorrow, too. Where is Kentucky playing tomorrow? Is it Auburn? Or is that Tennessee? I can't remember.
Tomorrow they are playing in Arkansas.
Arkansas. Oh, yeah. Now, that's you're talking about another – that's a great game. Hey, thanks for the call. We are going to head to Athens in a minute. Mark Schlabaugh has been looking into the Carter situation, chatting with Kirby Smart, all of that coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey, welcome back. Kirby Smart giving his first interview since the tragedy of 6 weeks ago today with ESPN's Mark Schlabaugh. Also in the wake of the Jalen Carter situation, with a lot of questions being raised about the culture of the two-time national championship coach. We say hello to Mark Schlabaugh now with the latest. Mark, thank you very much. I realize you covered a lot of ground with Kirby Smart today. What stood out to you?
I guess mostly, Paul, his memories from the night, early morning hours of January 15th. He said he was awoken by his wife, Mary Beth. There had been several calls to his cell phone. He was asleep, didn't hear it. She woke him up, said he went to the emergency room. Several of his players had gathered at the hospital. He said an emergency room physician told him that Devin Willock, his offensive lineman, and a staffer, recruiting staffer, Chandler LaCroix, had passed. And he said just dealing with the tragedy of that for the past 6 weeks or so.
So many things have happened since then, including the revelations this week about Jalen Carter, including a report that said he had been stopped by police for speeding weeks earlier, or at least a couple of months ago. What did Kirby Smart share with you on this front, especially Jalen Carter?
He said, Kirby told me he'd been made aware that Jalen Carter was at the scene on January 15th by people who were at the crash site. He said he was not fully aware of his involvement because it was an ongoing investigation. He said he was not aware that Carter had been pulled over in September by Athens-Clarke County Police for driving nearly twice the speed limit in a 45-mile-per-hour zone. He said that they had continuously preached to their kids, players, to slow down, talk to them about the dangers of street racing. He said last summer, Bryant Gant, one of the associate athletic directors here who's in charge of player services, came to Smart and told him that he'd been watching a lot of news clips out of Atlanta about young people street racing and on the streets in downtown Atlanta, and that he felt like they needed to do something to educate their players. So Smart said they brought in police officers from Athens-Clarke County and the University of Georgia to talk to them about that.
Talking to Mark Schlabaugh, this interview earlier, and we're getting in the video. We'll have it for you very shortly. Mark's first interview with Kirby Smart, anyone's first interview with Kirby Smart. Mark, I want to ask you about that part of it, because he has been very quiet, understandably so. He's also caught a lot of criticism from people around the country talking about the culture of the University of Georgia football team. Until recently, you cover the team, we all cover it. These are things we haven't heard much about. What did he share with you about that?
Yeah, look, I mean, they've won back-to-back national championships. There's going to be a lot of tension on the program. They have had a string of arrests. Pop Dumas Johnson, one of their starting linebackers, was arrested a week ago for the same charges, racing and reckless driving. Police allege that on January 10th, the day after Georgia defeated TCU in the national championship game, that officers observed his car at a high rate of speed, and he fled. He was picked up just last week. You had the incident with Stetson Bennett, the former Georgia quarterback, in Dallas. But the last question I asked Kirby Smart, Paul, was, does your program have a culture problem? And he told me, absolutely not. I would say we're far from it. And he said people who come into this program tell him the same thing. So, you know, there's some things, certainly some things they've got to clean up.
Mark, if I could go, and obviously this is a terrible tragedy that I know he talked to you about in great length, and all the tributaries that surround it. But let's talk about Jalen Carter for a second. It's part of it, but it's a separate issue. There are a lot of questions about Jalen Carter right now. Was he at the scene? Has he told the truth? What's going to happen in the aftermath? What do we know about this in relation to Jalen Carter?
We know that Carter was with Willock and the two recruiting staffers and Warren McClendon, the other offensive lineman, when they left downtown Athens around 2:30 a.m. on January 15th. Police say they were supposed to meet up at a Waffle House that was about 3 miles away. They never made it there. The car that LaCroix was driving, which had been leased by the University of Georgia Athletics Department, left the road, hit a pole and some trees. Willock died at the scene. Carter left the scene, came back about an hour and a half later, according to police. They said he provided shifting statements to police. At first, he said he heard the crash at an apartment complex that was about a mile away. Then he told police he was behind the car and could see its taillights. And then I think eventually he said he was next to it and that car was traveling at 104 miles per hour. We've received some documents from Athens-Clark County Police, a 911 call log where there was a woman who notified police the morning after that her son had taken a video of the cars racing down the street shortly before it crashed. I actually spoke to that witness on Thursday. He said he turned over the video to Athens-Clark County Police, declined to provide it to us at ESPN. He said people don't need to see it.
Mark, I realize you're a reporter here. You just came up with a news-breaking interview with Kirby Smart, but if I can read between some of the lines here and, you know, help guide, it sounds like some of the things we're hearing about Jalen Carter are different than what we heard 2 days ago, when it seemed like, you know, maybe he was going to come out of this pretty well. Try to encapsulate what we know about Jalen Carter, and what do you think it could mean for him and his future?
Yeah, you know, he's charged with two misdemeanors. He's charged with misdemeanor reckless driving, misdemeanor racing. Both of those charges carry a maximum sentence of 12 months in prison and a $1,000 fine. Talking to attorneys in the Athens area, they say 99% of the time, depending on someone's record, that's used typically served through probation. He'll probably lose his license for an extended period of time. But I talked to Lieutenant Sean Barnett from the Athens-Clark County Police Department yesterday, and he told me that before the charges were filed, given Carter's high-profile nature, they consulted extensively with the Athens-Clark County District Attorney's Office, the Solicitor's Office, and other organizations, government agencies, to determine what the most, you know, what the charges should be, and everyone agreed that these are misdemeanors. So, barring new evidence, this is all he's going to face.
May not be part of your purview, Mark. This will be a better question for the solicitors. But do we know was he the car that was involved in the racing that helped to create this terrible tragedy, or is that still unknown at this moment?
Police allege that he was driving a Jeep truck. I believe it's called a Hellcat. I think I probably just screwed that up. But the police allege that he was driving that vehicle that was involved with weaving in and out of traffic, driving in the center lane, driving in opposite lanes. Carter released a statement saying when the full story and evidence comes out, he'll be exonerated.
The track hawk, for the record.
Track hawk, thank you. Out of my price range, Paul.
And by the way, I was told that. I didn't know anything. I didn't know that independently. Okay. Final question, Mark. I know you've already addressed that the solicitors said that this was a misdemeanor, but is there anything to draw into this? Because it sounds a little more serious than that, considering how this event turned out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an attorney. I don't want to make legal assumptions, but I think just from what I was told, based on the evidence they had, they felt like two misdemeanor charges were what they could charge him with and get a conviction. The police said that LaCroix, the Expedition, was going 104 miles per hour. Her blood alcohol concentration was 0.197, which is nearly 2.5 times the legal limit in Georgia. You know, there wasn't evidence that he had nudged her car off the road. So I guess, you know, they felt those were the suitable charges.
And I think the key word you said there, and I think people don't understand it or don't comprehend this, but you can't, you don't charge unless you think you can convict. So therein lies a lot of the times that the public simply is wondering why didn't this happen when they know that they can only go so far. Mark, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. Mark Slaybaugh. And we will have the conversation with Kirby Smart shortly. We would have had it earlier, but it just happened. So we were able to grab Mark from the interview. And more on that breaking story in a few minutes. Stuart Mandel next on the future of the Pac-12.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And a busy day with news of scheduling changes for the SEC, perhaps the end of the Pac-12, and just a few more things. Stuart Mandel, the editor-in-chief of college football at The Athletic, joins us. Stuart, thank you for being here. And let's start with the Big 12 and the Pac-12, because you're reporting and a lot of tongues wagging about what's happening. You live out in the West Coast. What's the shelf life look like for the Pac-12 right now?
Paul, it's a crucial month for the Pac-12. These TV negotiations that have been ongoing since, you know, pretty shortly after USC and UCLA announced they were leaving. There's a lot of pressure on George Kliavkoff to get it done this month. You know, it's been dragging on for a long time. The schools need some clarity. And like you said, the Big 12 is sitting there. You know, their commissioner is very aggressive. He has not hidden the fact that he wants to go after their schools. And he's waiting on that number or that the details of that deal, and then he's going to pounce. The Pac-12 side of it is a lot more quiet. It's very hard to get intel on what exactly is going on there. I think their schools look at the Big 12 as kind of a last resort if their deal does turn out to be disastrous. But the longer this drags on, the more panicky people are getting that might be the case.
Stuart, there was a time, like about 2 or 3 years ago, when college administrators, commissioners of Power Five conferences at least acted like they were collegial and friendly. And I feel like I'm watching the succession here or something. What is behind the boldness of the Pac-12, the Big 12, yeah. Pretty much everyone right now?
It's an absolutely correct observation, and I think it's because as the previous generation, Mike Slive, Jim Delaney, John Swofford, Bob Bowlesby, had worked in college administration their whole career, and there was kind of a decorum to it. As these guys have been replaced, we're seeing a different kind of leader that the presidents are interested in. There's so much focus on these media deals. So Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, came from Roc Nation. He has never worked in college sports. He's worked at the Brooklyn Nets. He's worked in Roc Nation. And you can just tell he's an aggressive New York kind of salesman. And it's rubbing everybody, you know, everybody in this industry can't believe how brazen he's being. But that's his, you know, that's his background. Kevin Warren also alienated a lot of people. He never worked in college sports. He had worked in the NFL. He approached it as a business. And I think that's what you're seeing with some of these. You know, they like to take pride in hiring outside-the-box people for these jobs, but the outside-the-box people don't necessarily follow the unwritten rules of collegiality.
Stuart, there was also some news. We talked to Dellinger earlier about Nick Saban. Depending on how you want to view it, and it probably depends on your school loyalty, being bothered by the fact that it looks like Alabama, assuming the SEC goes to 9, they'll end up with Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU. It sounded like Saban was saying, hold on a second. Why are we only looking at the last 10 years? Why don't we go back? Tennessee's been good lately. Why don't we go back to when they weren't good, or maybe they were. I mean, his statements read like Nick Saban is afraid of someone. We know he's not, but how did you read those statements from Saban today?
Well, first of all, no conference in America is more obsessed with the scheduling format than the SEC. I feel like this storyline has been going on for years. And every year they go to Destin and they're gonna hash it out, and then they don't come out with an agreement. I understand what he's saying. I do. When you do it in this format that they're talking about with the three, like, it's not going to be equitable. There's no way to make it perfectly equitable. I'm surprised he, of all coaches, is going there, because he's actually been leading the charge for years. He's been pushing for them to go to a 9-game conference schedule. He has suggested that Power 5 schools should only ever play other Power 5 schools. And let's be honest, he's got some of the best players. He should not be as worried about that as, for instance, I was looking at Ross's tweet about the, you know, who you might possibly, your three teams might be. I mean, if Texas gets those three teams, I don't know if they're ever going to go above 7-5 again. You know, some of these team schedules are going to get a lot harder. Alabama's schedule, conference schedule, is already pretty hard. They already play Tennessee. It doesn't seem that different to me.
Well, yeah, Ross indicated, I was obsessed on Tennessee. He said he felt Saban didn't like the LSU component. I really don't. It doesn't matter. The good part about the SEC schedule is, other than those three permanent, you're going to rotate everybody else. And right now it's very uneven. Chatting with Stuart Mandel here. Before you go, Stuart, there was also some news today. A lot of news for a March Friday afternoon about rules changes. What are your thoughts here in our remaining 2 minutes about where the game is going, and will it really get quicker, faster, more easy to watch?
Yeah, I think it's something that, frankly, should have happened years ago. The college has always, you know, been different from the NFL in terms of stopping the clock after first downs, and their games are considerably longer. Now, I made the mistake of tweeting that I thought it was a good idea, and immediately heard back from a million people who are offended by the suggestion that college games should be shorter. I would just remind those people, I'm not trying to, like, you know, kill off college football. I'm just saying, you know, some of those SEC on CBS games, they start at 3:30 and they don't end until almost 7:30. And then I think the bigger issue you've run into is, you know, ESPN, Fox, they like to stack those games back to back to back. And oftentimes, you know, your team is supposed to be playing on, you know, ESPN2 at 7:30, and they have to move the game to ESPN News or ESPN Plus. Like, I think it would be in everybody's benefit to compress these games. And I get it. people say that's not the real problem. It's the commercial breaks. You should reduce the commercial breaks. We'd all like them to reduce the commercial breaks, but they've got to pay the bills. You know, these, you know, ESPN is paying, or ESPN, no, sorry, not ESPN, actually. Fox, CBS, NBC are paying $1 billion a year to the Big Ten. How do they make that money back? Selling ads. So either the schools could give back some of the money, or we're going to have a lot of commercial breaks, and we've got to find other ways if we want to condense the games.
And, sir, speaking of those necessary and eagerly anticipated commercial breaks, we're facing one right now because we want to keep paying the bills.
Because you guys got to pay the bill.
Well, somebody's got to pay guests like you to appear on this program. Stuart, thank you. always a pleasure to have Stuart Mandel on.
Thanks, Paul. I'll wait for that check. Thank
you.
You
will be waiting like every other guest that's ever appeared. For the record, we do not pay guests. Some have offered to pay us, not to call them anymore, though. We'll take a short break. We are back. An update on the situation with Georgia. We'll watch what Kirby Smart had to say in a couple of minutes, and more conversation with Matt Baker about the Gators.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.